When I hear this morning's first reading from the Old Testament book of the prophet Malachi, the hair stands up on the back of my neck. My mouth gets dry, I get a lump in my throat, and I get really nervous and fidgety, even more so than I usually am. You remember the reading, don't you? And now, O priest, this is for you. If you do not listen, if you do not give glory to my name, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse. You have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your instruction. Now you know why I'm so nervous. This is a very difficult reading to hear as a priest. Have I caused many to falter by heretical instruction? Have I caused many to falter by failing to give correct, proper instruction? Have I only wanted to give easy homilies because I wanted seats of honor and greetings in marketplaces? Have I failed to proclaim the gospel of God by word and example? When Pope St. Gregory the Great commented on this passage from Malachi way back in the year 600, he said, "Although we have accepted the priestly office, we do not fulfill its demands. Those who have been entrusted to us abandon God, and we are silent. They fall into sin, and we do not extend a hand of rebuke." Do I really go after the lost sheep when they abandon God and the practice of the Catholic faith? Do I fulfill my spiritual work of mercy to admonish the sinner and call them to conversion? Today's first reading is very difficult for the priest. It's a real intense examination of conscience. If you do not give glory to my name, thus says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, O priest. And it's actually worse than that. Did you notice that there's a part missing from today's first reading? Verses 3 to 7. I've been a priest 20 years and I've never ever bothered to look up what was missing. Maybe I didn't want to hear more bad news. In verse 3, the part they left out, it says that God will throw dung in the priest's face. That doesn't sound very pleasant. There's also a part missing where God reminds the priest of the covenant with Levi. That's the Old Testament covenant that God made with the priests, because Levi was a priest and all of his descendants were priests. In the covenant with Levi, the priest, in the part that was missing from today, verse 6, it says that the priest has true doctrine in his mouth. It says that the priest walked in integrity and turned many away from evil. Once again, an examination of conscience. Have I made void the covenant of Levi by not preaching true Catholic doctrine? Do I turn many people away from evil and sin and back to the Lord Jesus? You know, when I was installed as your pastor 1 year ago this month on November the 19th, maybe some of you remember that Mass, I had to swear an oath with my hand on the Bible. I did it right here from this pulpit. So we had the Bible right here, and the bishop was standing right here over my shoulders, looking over me. Here's the oath. Look at how long that is. The oath that I had to swear on the Bible before God and the bishop. And part of that oath said, you might remember if you were here for that Mass last year, I said, I firmly accept and hold each and everything definitively proposed by the church regarding faith and morality. I believe it all. I said. And then I said, with great diligence and fidelity, I shall hold fast to the deposit of the faith in its entirety, not just the parts that I like, not just some of it. And I shall faithfully hand it on and explain it, and I shall avoid any teaching contrary to it. That's what I said right here from this spot on the Bible. That's pretty serious to take that oath before God and before the bishop. Now you know why I'm so intent during my October pro-life mini-series. Although some people might be upset that I preach about the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life, which also means that I have to preach from time to time about the attacks against the dignity of human life. For example, the evils of contraception, abortion, assisted suicide, gender reassignment surgery, and all the things we talked about last October. But you know, at the end of my life, I'm going to have to stand before God as my judge. Not you, not my parishioners, only God. And I really don't want to have dung thrown in my face. I really, really do not want to hear those terrible words from the prophet Malachi. Curse to you, O priest. You have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your lack of instruction. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know that you're not always liked by your children. You have to form them in the ways of the faith, in the ways of virtue. You're forming future saints. And so sometimes you have to say something that's difficult, but you always do it out of love. And you know that someday you'll have to answer, not to your kids, but to God, for how you did as a parent. That's how it is for me as a spiritual, real father. And like natural fathers and mothers, supernatural fathers are weak too. We know very well how many times priests sin and fall. What we preach is sometimes difficult for us to do and to put into practice. We need God's grace. We count on your prayers. That's why I'm so grateful for the Seven Sister Apostolate that we talked about last weekend. That's why I'm so grateful for Priesthood Sunday, for an extra, extra superabundance of prayers and sacrifices. We priests need help to be holy, healthy, happy priests. But like St. Paul in today's second reading, who boldly proclaimed the gospel of God, I give thanks to God unceasingly for all of you. I give thanks to God for all of you that in receiving the word of God from hearing me preach, you received it not as a human word, for it's not my opinion. You received it not as a human word, but as it truly is, the word of God. And I give thanks to God unceasingly that this word of God is now at work in you who believe.